The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Yeah, with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean, and to the right of me, our pretty little princess. We all know her as Stephanie Joy. Whew, a little winded here, friends. Folks, we are the Christians that the atheists love to hate. The conservatives that the liberals are afraid of, the voice that the pro-murderers wish to silence, the patriots that the globalists despise, yes, we are them. Show hosts, and welcome to the show. If you'd like to check us out online, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. Again, it is sonsoflibertyradio.com. You can also go over to our Facebook. Lots of interaction going on between two pages, between Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio. Again, on Facebook, Sons of Liberty Radio. And then if you go over to Bradley Dean, double E, Bradley Dean, double E again, there's two different sites. One fan page, one personal page. Like them both if you would. We got a couple, well, we're working on a couple 100,000 friends here, but we're just over the 100,000 mark as far as our friends go right now. So the interaction is second to none, and we appreciate it because we love to hear what you have to say. Again, check it out, Sons of Liberty Radio and Bradley Dean, two different pages. You can also follow us on our Twitter account, which is BradleyDean1. Bradley Dean 1 on our Twitter accounts, and the phone lines will be accessible today, 1-866-233-0747. Again, that number is 1-866-233-0747. Folks, we're turning talk radio into do radio. We're showing you our faith by our works. Matter of fact, case in point, just yesterday I had shared this, and I just love these kind of quotes because it's food for the soul. Food for the soul. As a matter of fact, when I'm studying, one of my sons will come up to me and say, "What are you doing?" And I'll say, "I'm eating. What does it look like I'm doing?"
I love good gold nuggets of truth. They're one of the best things you can have, especially when they're short and sweet, because they stick with you and they stay with you in your heart, and I love them.
For real. For real.
I love it. Actually, you know, the next thing I want to do is I want to put together a book of good gold nuggets of truth. You know, when you hear a powerful quote, whether it be by George Washington, MLK, Charles Spurgeon, they're awesome.
Now, who's Charles Spurgeon and who is George Washington?
You don't know who George Washington is?
This is the Sons of Liberty.
What I'm saying is...
We want a great quote book none other than Bradley and Stephanie,
here at the Sons of
at least that's what I'm told.
Well, here, we here at the Sons of Liberty are so smart that we know to learn from our past and from those who have gone before us and our elders and those who have paved the way, who have led this nation to be the greatest nation in the world because
nation.
Yes. I'm from, you know, New Jersey or South Dakota. Was that Nashville? Whatever accent that was. But we know enough to go back and look at our founding forefathers and look at leaders of the way, such as MLK, and you look at, you know, RFK, and you look at all these, Charles Spurgeon, who is the prince of preachers. He definitely had it going on with the Lord, and you can see their quotes, and it's a good feed your soul. I love good, powerful gold nuggets of
kind of like this one. Martin Luther said, the great reformer, he said, "True faith will no more fail to produce good works than the sun can cease to give light." I'll say it one more time.
That's great.
True faith will no more fail to produce good works than the sun can cease to give light.
I love that.
It goes hand in glove. We're showing you our faith by our works, friends.
And if you have faith, it can't but shine.
Well, that's right.
Of
and
course.
It's a labor of love, and it's a work of faith. And it's a work of faith with power, pray we, in Jesus' name. Friends, this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, our pretty little princess? Because?
Well, the reason why that is because it's just a terrible place
to
be. Terrible. terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. We always want the mind of Christ, truly, and we always want the heart of God and to be led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, these are the sons of God in Jesus' name. So this past week, what we've been doing on the Sons of Liberty is we have been highlighting the awful price of freedom. We have gone through the Revolutionary War, then we went to the Civil War, then we went to World War II. And what I want to do is take some highlights from the week to show people the awful price of their freedom and give you some facts and information that you probably don't know. You're not going to find this in your average history lesson in public school. Let's just say it that way. Now, here's some facts about the Revolutionary War. Did you know that the Continental Congress established on paper a regular army on June 14th, 1775? Now, what's significant about June 14th, Mr. Dean?
That would be my birthday.
That would be Bradley's birthday, but isn't it just a coincidence that the Continental Army happened to establish a regular army on that day in 1775? And the greatest leaders and commanders of the Revolutionary War included Nathaniel Greene, John Stark, Benedict Arnold, who of course later betrayed America, Daniel Morgan, and Anthony Wayne.
George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton.
Yeah, we're just
George W. Bush.
Yeah, those get a little later on. Yeah, we're talking about
President Johnson, President Nixon. Wow, Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, just to name
day,
a few.
Benedict Arnold's, and the American people know all of it.
That's right. But going back to the Revolutionary War, the Revolutionary War was fought against Great Britain, of course, but the timing was from 1775 to 1783 during the colonial era. Now, the Olive Branch Petition was July 5th, 1775, aimed at reconciliation with Great Britain, but of course it failed. The time for negotiation had passed. They needed to put action to the words and put a stop to a tyrant. Now, the Americans had no standing army at the outbreak of the Revolutionary War. As I mentioned, the American Revolutionary soldiers came from the 13 colonies who had relied upon the local militia. If you are a male between 18 and 45, you are the militia, made up of part-time citizen soldiers for local defense. Now, did you know that the British Army had many advantages over the American Army? They were a well-established, experienced standing army and navy, while the American Army didn't have it. As for weapons, the British Army had ample quantities of powder, guns, and clothing. When we're looking at many soldiers in the Revolutionary War that fought for America, they wore civilian clothes or hunting jackets because they didn't even have uniforms. It just goes to show you the divine providence of the Lord fighting that war with us on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And a final fact about the Revolutionary War was that a total of 25,000 Americans died during the Revolutionary War. But what's interesting to note is about 8,000 died in battle and the other 17,000 died of sickness.
That's
when
crazy.
Missing in action and other causes. So they had, you know, the pox and all these different things that they were fighting against. But nevertheless, God gave them the victory. Now, speeding forward here to the Civil War, did you know the Civil War was the bloodiest war ever fought on American soil? During an average day during the war, approximately 600 people were killed. That's 600 people every day. By the end of the war, over 618,000 people had died. This is more Americans than World War I,
that's right,
World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War combined. If the names of the Civil War dead were organized similar to the names on the Vietnam Memorial Wall, the Civil War Memorial would be over 10 times longer. So let you think upon that during the break, and we'll come back with more of this.
Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about ordered liberty. How poor is poor, and how poor is America? Really? You've got to be kidding me. Phone lines are accessible, 1-866-233-0740.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your Healthy Start Pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. Or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Ben Franklin was right when defining diplomacy. It is seduction in another guise. So friends, I have to cut to the chase by bringing the hammer down and bring about the answers in which liberty is established.
SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
That's why people listen to the show. Politics and religion are married, regardless if you like it or not. If that politician is not submitted to God, who does he or she work for?
SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
And if what I were telling you were not true, then what are you complaining about?
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Got Bradley and Stephanie. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook, Sons of Liberty Radio, or Bradley Dean Double E. If you want to go onto your Twitter account, Bradley Dean 1. And or if you'd like to call in at any time within the next 2 hours, 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. So how poor is poor?
Very poor.
Well, because we all know that when, you know, the modern gospel teaches that the poor, you know, those poor people, they're broke, they're out off the, you know, completely down on their luck. They have no chance. Yep, I know those people. And a lot of those people, as a matter of fact, if you take a little time, you'll find, friends, that they can work just like any other able-bodied individual can, but they just choose not to work.
The Bible, I recall, says a little something about that. If you don't work, said, you don't...
Yeah, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when we keep poor into content, we keep it into the context with the content, we'll find that poor means to be destitute of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So poor in spirit doesn't mean I'm broke, I got jilted by a girlfriend, I just lost my house or my car or whatever the case. That's not what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you are destitute of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But contrast to that, if we go over to the poor in America, those that claim that they're poor, the entitlement mentality, those that have been baited by the government as a bunch of useful idiots to, you know, basically support themselves. And by the way, it's not just all those black people and all those Hispanic people and all those white people over in the ghetto or in North Minneapolis where I'm from and where I was raised, by the way. No, it's not just them neither. There's a lot of folks out there riding workman's compensation for 99 weeks because the Democrats, who they despise, you know, they just love the fact that they're still giving them their benefits so they can sit around, get fat, and do a whole lot of nothing. And I'm trying to make a point here because America, really what it comes down to, I've been into Hawaii, a lot of poor folks there. Don't see anything wrong with them, folks. Go to California, see a lot of poor folks there, friends. They choose to be poor. They don't want to work. They want to be on welfare. They want to work the sympathies of the people. This is what they want. As a matter of fact, just this last week, we were talking about how the Channel 11 here in the state of Minnesota, wasn't too long ago, was actually doing a piece on these people that are standing on corners that are claiming that they're veterans and they're broke and they're out, they have no place to live, or they're from a different state, and, you know, they need gas to get back home. And, well, it was interesting that they found that those people, on average, make $400 to $600 a day.
Yeah, I remember that,
$400
too.
$400 to $600. $1,000 a day. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people out there that do need the help to get up and to make their way. I'm not talking about those people that are willing to get a little help and then get away from it. That's exactly right. Remember Joe Braddock?
Yeah, exactly.
Cinderella Man?
Yeah, he was a man who basically was going through a hard time during the Depression, and the government was able to give him some assistance for a while. And then what he did, because he was so thankful and because he didn't want to rely on the system, when he was done, he was back on his feet and he got some extra money, he repaid back. He won the championship and he got the money.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. He repaid back what was given unto him. It's interesting, too, as well, when you're talking about these people that sit on the corners. I've been noticing a lot of them lately, actually. But when you, on one of these interviews, they were actually following a woman, and they followed her from begging on the corner to going into her home.
Nice home.
Exactly. Yes. So when you look and you say, you got to be careful not to be deceived and find out what's really genuine and what's not.
Right, right. You got to ask yourself that these people that have claimed that they're so poor or they're on workman's compensation, I'm just kind of curious, are they willing to pay that money back?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it owed to them?
Right.
Because if you say within yourself that that's owed to me, I want to tell you something. That is an entitlement attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Who owes you anything if you say that you're poor? Who owes you? Because I know within myself, I was raised in North Minneapolis.
Yeah.
My mom was a welfare mom.
You have many excuses.
My mom was out working as a single mom. She was a workaholic. And me and my brothers were going out busting hump. When we were young kids, we had to go out and get a job right away to pay for our own clothes, for those that didn't know. No, it didn't just come. Somebody didn't owe us anything. You know, it wasn't that way at all. We had to work for what we now have. It's just how it is in America, and that's what's awesome about America. If you want to gain, you can work your hind end off until you do gain.
That's right.
If you don't, you can go ahead and live the way that you want to live, but don't lay it on somebody else to have to support your lack thereof, namely your lack of effort to make something out of yourself. That's nobody's fault. We're going to get to it in a minute, but go ahead.
That's exactly right, and as the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So basically, the Bible even commands, if you don't work, you're not going to eat. And when you bring forth your labor, there's a great satisfaction because you know that hard work, and God gave you arms, he gave you the ability to go out there, and you feel good about yourself and a job well done and accomplished. You know, when you make a good feat as far as an accomplishment, you think, I feel satisfied. I worked hard that day. I did what I was supposed to do. And there's a gratification. If you just lay around, you're miserable.
Yeah.
You don't,
a lethargic
cat. A lot of people who just lay around, just miserable.
Yeah.
God gave you hands to work with, feet to walk with. He gave you a brain to think with. There's no excuse when
but
you have all
been
those.
Very far and few between that I've seen on those street corners.
Mm-hmm.
That, as a matter of fact, now that I think of it, before God, I can't think of one that wasn't able to get up and actually work.
Right.
Now, I have on two different occasions. I remember when I was in the rock and roll world back in the 90s, and I would tour around the country. I remember at one particular stop in Missouri, we pulled off on the side of the road, and we had a $5 per day per diem.
Mm-hmm.
We only had $5 a day to eat off of, okay? And what was interesting is I seen this one individual on a corner, and I felt sorry for him just instantaneously. I felt bad for him. I knew what it was like to be there, and I wanted to help him. So what I did is I walked inside of the store because I seen him go inside of the store. I gave him the $5, and I said, dude, what are you going to do with this money? He said, I'm going to get something to eat. Now, what happened is, as I said, I was on the road during my rock and roll days. My bass player walked in. That individual that I just gave the only $5 that I had, he walked over to my bass player and said, you know where I can get some pot?
Ugh. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember another particular case in North Minneapolis. I can bring you to the exact corner, West Broadway in North Minneapolis. I remember this guy holding a sign stating he was hungry, he was a veteran, he needed help. And I said to him, I'll tell you what, why don't we go on the highway, and what we'll do is we'll go to that Wendy's restaurant, and I'll buy you dinner right now.
Right.
He wanted nothing to do with
right.
it. He said, nope, I'd rather have the money. I said, well, you're not getting my money.
Yeah.
Now, when I was 18 years old, just giving you my personal experience before I hit this topic, how poor is America, ordered liberty, friends. I remember an individual in North Minneapolis at a McDonald's that just opened up. It's right off of Lindale in North Minneapolis, and I remember this guy, he was a black dude, and again, I felt bad because, again, I knew what it was like to lack, and I remember telling him that I would buy him something to eat if he would go inside. I said, what do you want? He said, I want a fillet of fish. And so what I did is I gave him some money, and I watched him go inside, I believe, the door, and then he turned around because he thought I was gone. But I purposely stayed just to watch what he was going to do.
Right.
And he turned around, and he came back out the door, and I said, I thought you said you wanted a fillet of fish. You wanted something to eat. He goes, he kind of shook it off like it was no big deal because now he had my money. Well, the problem was is he didn't realize that I wasn't going to let that fly.
Right.
So being the little wise individual that I was back in the day, I actually stood up and I walked over to him and I grabbed the money in his hand, and he would not let go of that money. I had him on the ground. I was stomping on his foot. I was a teenager, guys.
Yeah,
I was a teenager pounding on his foot to get rid of that money. He wasn't letting go of that money.
No, that's interesting, because when you look at that, you say, okay, there's a lot of people who are cons out there. There are a lot of fakes that can work, and they're just simply
my experience
for money.
Shows me that's exactly what every one of them has been.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, now, yeah. There is one time, and I want to give the other side of the spectrum, because there are people who are truly in need out there, and that's what the church is there for. The church's job is to help out if there is some need. I remember one time when you were out in Washington.
As they bear witness to what the word says, that if you don't work, neither shall you eat.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, people go through a hard time. They injure themselves, whatever. They have a family. The church is there to help them during a time where they need it, and then go out, and once you're ready to, go back to work. If you've got
that's
an
right.
injury or something, then, you know,
you're
you
helping them get back on their feet.
Right.
Some people don't want to get on
enabling
their feet.
Enabling them
right.
to get back on their
exactly.
feet. Now, when we go back to you one time in Washington, D.C., I remember that you had went, and you had gotten dinner. It was, you know, an evening meal.
Oh, right.
And you walk, yep. and you saw a sincere man who was homeless. Now, you can tell that story just to show that there is some
situations. We were in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. just in December, I believe it was, or maybe it was in January of 2014, but we went to D.C., and we were part of this so-called event that took place out there, and we just got done eating, and for some reason, we only ate half of what we ordered, and that was strange, especially with where we were eating. The food was so good. And I did not, there was on two different occasions, I believe, that I was going to give the food, but I kept saying, Lord, who do you want me to give this to? I know somebody needs this, because it was bizarre. I don't ever do that.
Right. You never waste food.
No,
I don't like to waste food.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's too many people out there that are starving, and I'm talking about in foreign nations, and I want my boys to appreciate what they have as well. Mm-hmm. So eat it all, clean the plate up. So anyways, in saying that, I remember I looked at a couple people. Those weren't the right people. We ended up walking under a bridge right by the hotel room that we were staying at, the hotel. And I remember walking up under the bridge, and this dude was poor. I mean,
right.
he wasn't begging. He was hiding. And I walked up to him, and I said, are you hungry? And he said he was. And I fed him, and it was a blessing.
Awesome.
And I knew that was the right guy.
And you saw that he was eating the food.
So how poor is poor? Order liberty, friends. Right when we get back, you're going to find out that America, for the most part, 99.9% is not poor.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty, 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. I did an event last week in Georgia, and there was an individual by the name of Ismael Hernandez who came from a totalitarian government, and he came over to America to warn America as to the signs that he's seen when he was under that totalitarianism and what he sees in America. And of course, while we were at this event, we had Kitty Worthman. I always get that screwed up. Thank you. Worthman. She was under Hitler's regime, and she was talking about the similarities and the parallels that she sees in America as to what she's seen when she was a young girl in Austria under Hitler's regime, and the American people were laughing about it.
Yeah.
To their own demise. But what was interesting about it was when Ismael Hernandez had got up, he started talking about the poor, and I thought this was interesting stuff, and I thought I'd share it with my listeners, because when we think of the poor in America, we don't realize what it looks like through foreign eyes.
Right. It's our idea of poor is not their idea of poor.
This is what he said. He said, this is his dialect, okay? I come to America, this blessed land, and learn three things very soon. Two very good ones and another no so good. The first was that America values me as a person. The individual matters. He is not supposed to fade away behind a collective label. He said, I come here, I had very good grades, and the university decided to offer me a full assistantship. They paid my studies while I still hated them. This is not supposed to be happening. I hate their guts and they still reward me. What I then learned was the wondrous connection between reward and accomplishment, one that we are quickly losing under the powerful influence of victim mentality and entitlement attitude. The second was that what you call poverty was really a joke. How can you call poverty a lifestyle that is the envy of the world? Listen to this. How can you call poverty a lifestyle that is envy of the world? According to the 2010 census, we learned these things about the poor. You ready for this, friends? This is the poor in America. 80% of the poor in America, the households that call themselves poor, 80% have air conditionings in their homes. Mm-hmm. In 1970, only 36% of all Americans had air conditioners. But 80% of poor households have air conditioning. Do the math. 92% of poor households have a microwave. Two-thirds have at least one DVD player. And 70% of the poor in America have a VCR. 75% of the poor in America have a car or truck. 31% of the poor have 2 to 3 cars.
Oh,
what a joke.
Very much so.
80% of poor adults and 96% of poor children were never hungry at any time during the year because they could not afford food. That's how poor we are, America. I'll say it again. 80% of the poor adults and 96% of poor children were never hungry at any time during the year because they could not afford food. Which tells me that food is accessible everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly two-thirds of the poor in America, that's 63.7%, have cable or satellite television.
Now, I've got a little testimony
on this. That jacks me up.
Yeah, what we have done a lot of assembly programs in South Dakota, and we've done a lot of Native American schools and Indian reservations. And it's interesting because when you drive by, you'll see a trailer, and it'll just be a very rundown, trashy-looking trailer. But on the side of it, you'll see this very nice satellite dish. Which is interesting because the fact that people, for the most part, can afford what they want to afford.
Of course.
And even if they have these crummy houses, if they want to get their cable, because we can't live without that, you know, then they'll go ahead and be able to afford a dish. But when you look at other countries, as you're talking about, I've been to Panama and I've been to some of these other places. I read Voice of the Martyrs to the kids sometimes. And when you look
That's poor.
Yeah, what these they're literally living in cardboard houses. They're excited when they get, you know, a toothbrush and a notebook for Christmas. I mean, how many kids in America would think, oh, I got a toothbrush, a notebook,
or what about a
sweater?
Candy cane?
Yeah, something so simple like
cup.
That. Exactly.
Yes.
They get a cup, they get something small, and they're very excited because they're truly poor. Our idea, as you said, is just a complete joke.
Half of the poor in America have personal computers. Now, for those that have a personal computer, you know how much those things cost.
They're not cheap.
Now, if you're poor, why would you need a computer?
Mm-hmm.
What would you be downloading?
Right.
What, pornography?
Yeah.
Would you be gambling online?
Right.
What would you be doing?
Surfing the internet, on Facebook.
Looking at new pictures
around.
That Barack Hussein Obama sends out to his entitlement dependents.
Right.
I have no idea, and I'm not being funny, neither. Just under half of all the poor in America have internet access. Friends, I haven't watched that filthy, shark-infested water called the television in years.
Mm-hmm. We don't even have cable.
Why would you?
King David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, so we don't.
Psalm 101.3. Did you like that?
I like that.
A third of the poor in America have a widescreen plasma or LCD TV.
Poor.
Now, hey, by the way, friends, guess who's paying for the LCD TV? Guess who's paying for the computer? Guess who's paying for the cable or the satellite television? Guess who's paying for the VCRs? Guess who's paying for the air conditioner? Guess who's paying for the microwave, friends? Guess who's paying for all this? You are. More than half of the poor in America with children have video game systems such as Xbox or PlayStation. Guess who paid for Xbox or PlayStation, friends? Those that work. That is, friends, if you think about what the government is doing through the welfare state, besides creating dependents to overthrow the older generation, mark my words, friends, that's exactly what it is. Just study out Mao Zedong because he's verbatim, line upon line, emulating dictators. But when you begin to think about this, they're entertaining them out of their freedoms. Do you understand this? They're entertaining them out of their freedoms. You know, I just told my boy this morning, little five-year-old. We were moving some stuff back and forth. And I looked at him and I said, how many minutes are in an hour? And he took a guess. I said, no. I said, count to 60. He counted to 60. I said, now what is a half hour? He said, 30. I said, that's right. I said, do you see that farmer's field over there? He said, yeah, Dad. I said, what's in the field? There was nothing there. I said, a good farmer, if he plants seed, does he want good seed in the field or does he want bad seed in the field? He said, good seed. I said, that's why it's important for you to do your homework so you're not a slave to those that mean to make you dependent.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because you're going to reap what you sow, good or bad. It rains on the just and on the unjust. And God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The American people, through the reallocation of their tax money, is being allocated to these people that don't want to work to destroy those that do want to work.
And those that...
Did you hear what I said, friends? That's what this is about. And again, when I'm talking about all of this stuff that might be offensive, and hopefully it is offensive, and I continuously itemize the DVD player, the microwave, the air conditioning, the 2 to 3 cars that these poor people have, the satellite televisions, so on and so forth, the Xbox and PlayStation and the LCD TV. Friends, and by the way, I'm not done yet. You're paying for all of this. I don't see that in the Constitution of the United States. Welfare is for the good of the people. And it's not lawful to steal from a group of people that work to give to a group of people that don't. But that's what this administration is doing, friends. That's what they're doing. Every single time I talk about what's going wrong with this country, I have to show the American people that you're paying for your own demise. In every given scenario, you're paying for it. You are working to pay for your own demise. I want you to understand that. Ismael Hernandez, a foreigner from a totalitarian government, comes to America and he says that the poor people in America, this is a joke. But I have to come to terms with the fact that I'm actually helping support this through my tax dollars. And this, my friends, I'll say it in a college vernacular for you. This ain't cool. And yes, ain't is one of the new definitions in our college dictionaries. I'm being facetious. I'll be called out under the carpet for that one.
Ain't really in the dictionary, Brad.
Let's go back to the poor. Just under half of all the poor in America have internet access. A third of the poor in America have a widescreen plasma or LCD TV. Now, the only person that I know that has a plasma TV is Miles Finch. And it's 70 inches.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay. Of the poor in America, one in every four has a digital video recorder such as TiVo.
I'm not very familiar with that, but it's a recorder. It's a digital.
It's a recorder.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when those things first came out, they were a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Just under $1,000.
Yep.
The average American in poverty has more living space than the average non-poor individual in Europe.
Non-poor.
Are you beginning to understand how blessed you are, America? What are you doing with that blessing called freedom? For those that are complaining about what's going on, friends, you still have the freedom to do the right thing. And boy, oh boy, do you have a lot more freedom than the average Joe. I'll say it again. The poor in America that lives in poverty has more living space in America than the average non-poor person in Europe.
That's amazing.
In other words, you ain't poor.
Mm-hmm.
This foreigner ended his statistics, ordered liberty with, blessed poverty, he said, give me more.
Wow.
How poor is America? America, you ain't poor. And I'll tell you what, you ain't got what you don't know what you got until it's gone. And I'm telling you, you got it. Just make sure you don't lose it. And what's more important than all of the materialistic things that we have in life, freedom. Without freedom, you've got nothing. We need to maintain it. You got Bradley and Stephanie, Sons of Liberty
Radio.
Sons
of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work, we cannot say thank you enough. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is David Getch with Patriot Update. America needs a few good men to stand for our founding principles and our Christian values. In Bradley Dean, we have found such a man. Bradley is courageous, persistent, and caring. He cares about America, and he is a disciple of Christ. Through his radio program and articles, he gives conservatives and Christians hope and a good example of how they should stand up for what they believe in.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179, two cases for only $355, or get three cases for only $515, and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze-Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
one 866 233 0747. Call in at any time. Stick to the topic of the POW. We're speaking about the POW right now, friends. And guess what, America? We ain't POW. We just ain't there. We ain't POW at all. And you know what's interesting about the POW? Isn't it interesting how the POW always have... Well, first of all, you look at a lot of poor people, they're fat. And why are they fat? Because someone's enabling them to stuff their face when they don't want to work. A lot of POW people on drugs, huh? A lot of POW people, they drinking booze, huh? A lot of POW people gambling in America, huh? That's how POW we are. I just read off an itemized statistics concerning the poor and what they have in this country, and it's all given unto us by the compliments of Ismael Hernandez, a foreigner who used to live under a totalitarian system. And he said at the very end of all the stats, friends, he said, oh, blessed poverty, he said, give me more. And guess what poor folks do in America, friends? They want more because they didn't have to work for it. We ain't poor.
No.
And I'm sick of people talking about, oh, how poor we are and how much we need it. And what jacks me up more than anything is when I go to tea parties and I find out all these people that are complaining about what's going on in their country, when I find out that they're on workers' compensation for 99 weeks. There's no excuse, friends. You know, I've been back home for a week. I just got back from California, Arizona, Georgia. If I listed off the stats, well, actually the itinerary of what we've done over the last year, most people say, well, how do you have time to do anything else? That's my anything else. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. People, I love people. Friends, you can't truly be born of the Spirit of God and not have a care for people. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Let me say this. Those that don't have an arm reached out to people to know the Christ that you say that you have, rest assured, you ain't got Christ.
That's right. The saying goes that if you're not wanting to see other people saved, then you're not saved yourself.
Of course.
If your heart is not reaching out to the lost, then you have no care.
And by the way, and there's a lot of people in this country that call themselves Christians. I'm on a little rabbit trail here. They call themselves Christians, but they don't have their hand out to other people. It's all about them. It's all about what they can get.
Right.
Right? Well, you know, what's the difference between that person and the person that we're actually highlighting right now? You're poor in spiritual things.
Right.
And you're poor in spiritual things on purpose because you don't want to take time to know what your duty and your obligation is before a just and a holy God who gave His Son, who freely gives all things. Freely you have received.
Freely give.
There you go. I like that.
Definitely.
I really do.
Oh, my goodness. And who would know better than a foreigner? You know, it's interesting because we have these interviews of people, and this guy went on the streets in America and was just asking about, you know, why we celebrate the 4th of July and independence and so on and so forth. And none of the Americans could tell you the correct reasons why we celebrate and, you know, who we broke off from and so on. But then there was a foreigner that came from Germany.
Yeah.
And he knew more about our history than the people who actually lived here. And, you know, people always say, no, God bless America, God bless America. Well, listen, God has blessed America. It's time for America to bless God. And when you look and see how much we have, if we were really grateful and thankful for how much we have, we wouldn't be whining because we want more.
That's right.
We should be so grateful and thankful that we do all that we can for our Creator first and foremost, and for those that laid down their lives so we could have this free and blessed nation. It comes down to your gratitude, because gratitude pushes you to do more for others and preserve what you have, rather than say, I want this and I want that and I need more.
Gimme. Yeah. My name is Jimmy.
A bunch of spoiled brats who don't realize what they have.
Gimme. My name is Jimmy. We po.
That's right.
Yeah, we straight po.
No.
And we want mo.
No. Yeah.
You know, Obama's in office now. We want mo.
Yeah.
Obama's there to steal it away from you white folks and give it over to a black folks. Yeah. Yeah, give it to us. We want that. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? And interestingly enough, the camera crew went to the black people that were on welfare.
Yeah.
And they were all praising the very man that means to enslave them.
You know.
Hey, let me say this, just in case. We have some people that are in that state right now. Harriet Tubman. She was an abolitionist, and she used to risk her own neck, literally, to free slaves.
Yep.
And what's interesting about that is the fact that she was hailed for her efforts in freeing slaves. And one day she was asked, how many slaves have you liberated? She said, well, I've liberated a lot of slaves, but she said I could have liberated a lot more had they known that they were slaves.
Mm-hmm. Such a great point.
You know your founding documents? Because if you don't, guess what? You're enslaved. Do you know the Word of God? Because if you don't, guess what, friends? You're enslaved. And I want to say this on a positive. Horace Greeley said this. He said, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom.
That's great.
Of course.
That's a great quote. And you know, when they try to separate between, oh, let's have the, you know, the black screen over here and the white screen over there.
Oh, CNN does it.
Exactly. Yes. You try to divide the people.
MSNBC's done it.
That's right. But you look at a guy like Martin Luther King Jr., and what did he say? He said, we don't judge men by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. If we would look at everyone, black, white, yellow, green, pink, whatever, and say, listen, I'm going to judge you. The Bible says, well, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
We should judge people by the content of their character, by their fruits, by what they do. Yeah. We shouldn't support
black,
someone just
yellow,
because
white,
they're black
green,
or just because
right,
they're white.
Right.
We shouldn't just go along with someone because, well, they're kind of like us.
Yes.
We should be looking at the inside and their fruit rather than the outside and what they say.
That's right. And let's reel it in right there.
That's right.
Matter of fact, it wasn't too long ago, I was at RNC in Florida.
And when I was in Florida, the black guy that ran for president, what was his name?
Oh, why can't I think of this off the top of my head? Herman Cain.
I hope you Herman didn't really Cain. Expect me to just like hear you, right?
Herman Cain?
Come on.
I was thinking Alan West, but...
No, Alan West. No, I talked to Alan West, too. Yeah, matter of fact, they got a hat and a t-shirt.
I was trying to mouth the word through the glass.
Alan West got his hat and his t-shirt.
That's right. He met Bradley Dean that day. It's pretty exciting for him.
I did talk with Alan West, and I also seen Herman Cain. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I tracked him. I gave him a gospel track, and he was sitting all by himself.
Yeah.
And I knew the situation that he just got out of. As a matter of fact, after he quit running for the presidency, it seemed like nobody really cared anymore.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And in saying that, yeah, I went over there and I tracked him. I gave him a gospel track. And speaking of which, reeling it back in and getting back on course here, when you read the commentary on Isaiah 61, because this is just... You know, this is what we hear all the time about Jesus preaching to the poor. Most people don't realize that Jesus was a preacher of circumcision. He was a preacher of the law to those that were broken by the law.
And who received the law.
Yep, I've already got 90% of those that call themselves Christians confused
right now.
Yep.
Okay, explain that. Okay,
that's what... You have a backwards, upside-down gospel in America. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ that they might be justified by faith. What you have in America is there's no need for the law because the pastors don't understand what I just told you.
And they have the wrong conception of the law.
Completely.
They think that's the Old Testament. Yeah, We're not under the Old Testament.
I'm in Romans 3 right now.
Exactly.
I'm in Galatians 3 right now. And folks, Jesus said in Matthew 5, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. But aside of that, this is what people like to highlight, Isaiah 61. So let me give you the commentary really quick. The prophet had the Holy Spirit of God at all times, teaching them what to say, speaking of Jesus, and causing them to say it. But Christ had the Spirit always, without measure, to qualify him as a man for the work to which he was appointed. The poor are commonly best disposed to receive the gospel, and it is only likely to profit us when we receive it with meekness, power under control. To such as are poor in spirit, Christ preached good tidings when he said, "Blessed are the meek." Christ's satisfaction is accepted by the dominion of sin in us. We are bound under the power of Satan, but the Son is ready by his Spirit to make us free. And then we shall be free indeed. Sin and Satan were to be destroyed, and Christ triumphed over them on his cross. Little Amen. Did Satan know. But the children of men who stand out against these offers shall be dealt with as enemies, because Christ was to be a comforter, and so he is. He is sent to comfort all who mourn and who seek to him and not to the world for comfort. He will do all this for his people that they may abound in the fruits of righteousness as the branches of God's planting, read John 15. Neither the mercy of God, the atonement of Christ, nor the gospel of grace profit the self-sufficient and proud. Matter of fact, if you deal with a lot of po people today, they're proud folks.
Mm-hmm.
They will not listen to a thing you have. They know everything. Just like somebody in college. It's like you got to ask them the question, those that are in college that know everything, what'd you come to college for?
Right.
You have to teach the professor something, which in most cases, 9 times out of 10, you probably will.
Yeah.
Folks, when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to actually kick off on fear. And people don't like the spirit of fear. And by the way, for those that are born of the Spirit of God, you're not born of the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So those that understand the things of Christ and are born of the Spirit, you need to understand that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Are you in Christ? Because if you are, you're good, and you should not be afraid. Be right back.